Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are universally worshipped. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva worship your lotus feet. Yet, although you are such a great personality, you have kindly promised to protect us, the demons. I think that such kindness has never been achieved even by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, what to speak of other demigods or common people. Purport. The word Durga Pala is significant. The word Durga means that which does not go very easily. Generally, Durga refers to a fort which one cannot very easily enter. Another meaning of Durga is difficulty, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead promised to protect Pali Maharaj and his associates from all danger. He is addressed here as Durgapala, the Lord who gives protection from all miserable conditions. Om Ajnati Manandasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitana Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamiyam Darati Swapanam Tikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kansa Nagorangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visavana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Drubhyacha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadin Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Bali Maharaj, although he was the grandson of Prahlad, his father was not a devotee. His father was once sent by the demons as a representative to inquire from Lord Brahma as to what was the goal of life. The demigods, they sent Indra, and both inquired from Lord Brahma. And I'm just trying to remember the name, and still not coming. But anyway, Prahlad's father in... Huh? Virochana. That's it. Yes, thank you. Prahlad's father was requesting the truth, and so did Indra, the truth, the true goal of life. And Lord Brahma said, the goal of life is to enjoy and to get the maximum pleasure out of life. Virochana thought, I've always known it. Confirmed, right? There's nothing more to know. I had this figured out long ago. I think I got the point. So why waste any time here? And he went home. Right? Indra, however, thought something is wrong here with this answer, because although we're trying for that enjoyment, it's not really available. Therefore, Indra decided to stay longer. Indra performed more austerity, and finally, Lord Brahma again gave him darshan and eventually explained to him the real goal of life as devotional service. So Virochana, somehow or other, was not such a devotee, that's for sure. So, although Bali Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, we can see that the dynasty didn't transform just because Prahlad Maharaj was in the family. They stayed still fixed in their demoniac ways. And of course, in previous yugas, we can really see that the demigods and the demons are very separated, are taking their birth in separate location, in separate planets, later on separate families. But in Kali Yuga, of course, in one family, one is a devotee, the other is a demon, and that's very normal. But that was not so normal. So somehow or other, Prahlad emerged from the demons as a great devotee. Bali Maharaj apparently was not a devotee. Apparently, he was what he was supposed to be, the king of the daityas, the king of the demons. But because Indra had committed some offense, therefore there was an opportunity. There was an opportunity for the demigods to, due to the impiety of Indra, there was an opportunity to conquer the three worlds. But then we see that devotional service never goes in vain. Even although a person may not have piety, even although a person may be covered by ignorance, if that devotional service somehow or another penetrates in his life, then apparently it seems to have no effect. Apparently it doesn't seem to make a major change. And apparently it looks that, well, the person at least got some little benefit on the eternal bank balance. But that's not the case. Actually, a seed has entered. And once that seed has entered and a little faith, a little spark of faith has developed, then that will work and that will grow. And in due course of time, it will fructify. And when again there is some association, when it is said that once devotional service has been performed, then again devotional service will be performed. It is because that little spark of faith has been ignited within the heart, some taste. Just like we were in Amsterdam in that King's Day, and we saw that otherwise materialistic people, they wanted to have a party, and they didn't enjoy their party so much. And we had a party, and it looked so good to them that they just jumped in, forgetting everything, and they had so much fun. They were enjoying so much. They were so happy that just seeing these expressions on their faces as they were chanting loud and as they were dancing, thinking, boy, this has gone deep. It went deep, right? It really touched them deeply. And that now covered, oh yes, now I'm sure it's totally covered back in Amsterdam and the regular routine of life, whatever that may be, after midnight and so on. But it will reemerge. I'm thinking of my own life, how somehow or other Krishna consciousness came in. I don't know what was first, my sweet Lord or the musical hair, but I got some Maha Mantra from there. I also don't know what was first, my girlfriend with a dog named Krishna or whatever. But anyway, the holy name was in my life. Krishna, Krishna, come here, stop, Krishna. Krishna, I tell you one more time. So somehow or other, the name was in my life. And then one day, I was seated on a bus, and there was an empty seat next to me, and a Hare Krishna came on the bus, and he sat next to me. I pushed myself in the wall of the bus, and looked at him, oh my God, oh, I hope he's not going to talk to me. And he must have looked at me, oh my God, a hippie. I hope he's not going to talk to me. And we never spoke. What a relief. What if he would have? What if he would have slipped me a little card into my hand? Would I have gone to the Sunday feast? Possibly. I might have. Now it took a few more years, just because he didn't slip me that card. But anyway, I got there eventually. Yes, so it enters, and first Agyata Sukriti, and then, but we like it. It ignites some taste, or it impresses us. When I always used to think of myself as a bit more spiritual than other people. Right? What to do, you know, just a little more spiritual interest than the average, you know. In fact, I thought I was very spiritual. And then, but when I saw so many different groups practicing this yoga, that yoga, and I saw that most were just doing it for status. I was in the Himalayas, in McLeod Ganj, you know, the place of the Tibetans, and then I met all these people at the Tibetan tea stall, where in the morning you drink tea with butter and little hot breads, you know, which in those days I thought were not bad. But people were saying, are you going to the library, Tibetan library? Are you already studying Tibetan? Are you doing the meditation courses? Which one are you doing, the first grade or the second one? Then someone said, first grade. I said, oh yes, yes. It's kind of difficult, isn't it? You know, at first. I remember when I used to. You know, I got like, oh my God, you know. We're keeping up with the Joneses here, you know. I said, I want to get out of here. You know, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most spiritual of all? But was I any different? Anyway, when I finally came to the devotees, they were too spiritual. You know, they were too serious. It was just, I mean, too much, these Hare Krishnas. They were totally dedicated. Shocking. Shocking. I felt exposed. Exposed for lack of surrender. And I didn't surrender when I saw that, but it went in. You know, I lived with that feeling of guilt. I lived with that feeling from, I'm not up to the mark. I could do better. And then I picked up the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, and while smoking my cigarettes and blowing smoke rings through smoke rings, you know. So, and what can I say? That's the sort of thing you do, you know, in the material world. And I read the Bhagavad Gita and I thought, yes, 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 I know all this in my arrogance. But then, every time, these words of Srila Prabhupada were hammering my heart. They were hammering my heart because they were sort of calling for surrender. And I used to think of myself as sincere, and then I thought, if I don't do it now, then how can I call myself sincere? And still I didn't surrender. But it was difficult then to live it myself after that, right? Of trying to look upon myself as sincere, because it's hard when you're not sincere. And everyone likes to think of himself as, I'm totally sincere. So it was tough. So eventually it ate at my heart, and one day I just had to do it. At one point, it's like, all right then, you know, okay, I'll do it. Resisting. So in this way, the demons are also touched. In the Nectar of Devotion, we have a description of Kamsa's moment of doubt. Right? I like it. He sits there on his throne in Mathura, in his ultimate mood of demoniac nature, and he's thinking, what can Krishna do to me? Nothing. I have powerful allies, you know, so many. I mean, Casey. I mean, the ultimate personification of power. What's this Krishna gonna do to me? Just then, a messenger walks into the court. Your Majesty. Tragic news. What? Your Majesty. Casey. No, not Casey. Your Majesty. Casey is no more. No, he's too powerful. It's inconceivable. How is it possible? Maybe I should just surrender unto him. Nah, but what would people say? Imagine me, Kamsa. Nah, couldn't do that. Maybe then I should just go to Vrindavan and inflict pain on the residents there. But how can I go when I'm too afraid to leave the palace because of Krishna? Isn't it nice that even Kamsa for a moment was thinking, maybe I should just surrender, just see. That gives us hope. If that can come up in Kamsa's head and heart, then anybody has a chance, right? So that is nice. So even the demons are touched by Krishna. Krishna is Bhagavan. And Jiva Goswami explains Bhagavan as, he breaks it up in three syllables, ba, ga, and va, and then says, ba stands for bhajaniya, ga for guna, and va for vasista. Bhajaniya, guna, vasista, which basically means that Krishna is irresistible. You have to worship him. So that seed of bhakti had long ago been planted in the heart of Bali Maharaj, and therefore it was not astounding that Bali Maharaj suddenly started to act like a devotee and give everything to the Lord. Even when Sukracharya said, you know, you're going to lose everything. I mean, you know, hold on, wait a minute, you know. And not with two steps, he'll take everything, and in the third step, right, you won't be able to give him. So it's a big offense, think about that. So, no, it's not a good idea. So he gave him even logic, intricate logic, you know. No, it would be good to give to the Lord, of course. I'm not arguing against that. But because you can't give that third step, it will be an offense. You get implicated, and think about that. Therefore, it sounded like good spiritual instruction. Bali Maharaj just didn't care. Because at that point, he had realized the selflessness of a devotee. But I don't care what happens to me. If it is the desire of the Lord, then it is the desire of the Lord. Whatever may happen to me, and this is the devotee. This is the point where one comes. Bhavanam jamanamante gyanavamam prapadinte vasudeva sarvamiti. After many, many births, that Krishna is everything. This is the point where we're saying, whatever he desires, all right, may it come to pass. And not calculating, not weighing, you know, how much for Krishna, how much for me. No, for Krishna. Simply, whatever he desires. So that mood was there in Bali Maharaj. And what did he get as a reward? Being bound up in a snake, suffocating almost to the point of not being able to breathe, and being severely tested to see if his surrender was not just external, but if he really, really was dedicated, and if he truly had no interest in any reward. See, yes, Krishna, I will give you. Yes, Lord, you can have your three steps. And then after, what am I getting? You know, I'm doing this for all the benefits that I'm getting. Yes, first I'm giving. Ah, yes, take my offering. 5 paisa, give me 5 lakhs. Right? Yes, this is by offering. Yeah? We have outside the Krishna Balaram Mandir, we have the money changers. Not anymore, but they used to be there, the money changers. And even when India no longer had 1 paisa coins, right? The money changers still had them. And people would come with 1 rupee and get 101 paisa coins. And you know, and that's great, you know, because then you can go to all the temples in Vrindavan, you throw 1 coin. And then we get kilos and kilos of 1 paisa coins. And what could we do with them? You can't use them anymore. And all we could do was sell them to the money changers, right? You know, and we would basically sell them to the money changers who would come back and, you know, again sell them to the pilgrims. So this was going on. 1 paisa throwing. Give me 1 paisa. Jai Jagadish chahiye, humko ek lakh chahiye. Yes. Please give me 1 lakh with great devotion. So, but in Bali Maharaj there was no business mentality. He was tested to see if there was. Because in spite of his surrender, no reward. No reward. A snake for a reward. Well, thanks a lot. And he still remained faithful. He never became bitter in anything. Is this what I get for my surrender? So that test he passed. And then at the end, he gets everything. He gets this amazing planet, Sutala, with greater opulence than Indra even had. And although he had to give up Indra's throne, he gets this wonderful planet, and Prahlad is also there. And now we see Prahlad is speaking. Now Prahlad is just showing what kind of reciprocation. You know, what kind of reciprocation? Because after all, Bali is a demon. Alright, he may have just, in this one act, he may have just acted properly. It may have been, okay, he got the darshan of the Lord, and the Lord took the 3 steps, and he gave it. He just happened to do it right for once. But for the rest of his life, he's just a demon. So in the middle of his life, as a demon, see how kind you are, even to the demons. And therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, you are such a great personality. You have kindly promised to protect us, the demons. The demons. Yes. How nice is Prahlad, to see himself like that. Are we seeing ourselves like that? Or are we reading the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita and the first few verses that describe the devotees? We say, that's us. And the rest of the chapter that describes the demons, that's the neighbors. Is that how we read the 16th chapter? Or are we reading the 16th chapter and hold it up as a mirror? And are we reflecting how much of this is still, to some degree, present in me? Unless we are prepared to read the Bhagavatam, read the scripture in that introspective way, and unless we are ready to question ourselves, and unless we are ready to have that mood of seeing ourselves as fallen, and how can we be ready to improve ourselves? I remember that in Vrindavan there was one boy, he wanted to join the temple. And I interviewed him, and I asked, he was from England actually, and I asked him, what he had done. And he said, I'm a mathematician. You know, I remember that, especially the British waves, I'm a mathematician. Yeah. And then I said, okay. And why do you want to join the temple? He said, I have calculated that the conclusion of life is to improve oneself. Don't ask me how he calculated it. He was a mathematician after all. But he got it right, you know. I mean, gosh, how did he figure that out, right? That's very rare. Very few people, right, would say that, you know, when you ask him, what's the goal of life? So I was impressed. It's quite something. Yes, so unless we have that mood, how can we ever rise above these demoniac tendencies that so easily re-emerge, even in between Mahamantras? It is so tricky. Look at Indra. Indra is a devotee. And then after the whole Govardhan fiasco, right, Krishna meets Indra, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is describing a conversation that takes place. And Krishna shakes his head and says, Indra, how could you do this? I mean, you're supposed to be my devotee. I mean, how could you act like this? He's just like, well, I was proud. Krishna says, but Indra, a devotee is supposed to curb pride with intelligence. Indra says, yes, well, that's true, I know. He said, but I was angry, and therefore I lost my intelligence. So it's interesting. This Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his commentaries always puts in these little conversations, you know, that like bring out really interesting, deeper points. And that's it. So just see, Indra wanted to kill the residents of Vrindavan. That's not a devotee anymore. I mean, that's pretty much demon, right? So somehow or other, we can see that it so easily re-emerges, these demoniac tendencies. I was angry. I was proud. Just see. So somehow or other, it is good to look upon oneself as fallen. And I often make the point that humility and honesty are very close. Because as soon as you get honest, then, you know, everybody is trying to hide all the mistakes and all the foolishness that we have, all the foolish things we do. We try to hide them from others. And we try to look like we are very expert and very cool and sort of, you know. But the truth is, we are, every single one of us is a klutz, right? A klutz, right? Somehow or other, we always goof it up again and again, and then you sort of, you know, a little veneer to hide it, and we go all the time, mistake after mistake, endless, like one chain of mistakes throughout the day, thousands of them, and we're hiding them all. So honesty is when we become aware of that and say, it's like, I just make mistake after mistake after mistake. It's like, I do this puja in the morning, and then every day I always make mistakes, forget something, do something wrong. What to do? Sometimes you just have to, you know, chant that mantra requesting for forgiveness for the offenses. But anyway, so when we are acknowledging that we are indeed making so many mistakes, then our honesty can lead to humility. Naturally. Not so great, actually. See? So this is what is required, because, and then next to it, a commitment towards self-improvement. That's spiritual life. One can never, ever be complacent. One cannot think, now I'm there. It's like, you know, first initiation, okay, yay, I'm there. Second initiation, you know, Brahmana. Right? casually forget to put the thread back.
Oh, it's still hanging there.
Jeez. And then, you know, sannyas, right? I somehow or other received sannyas here in the Bhaktivedanta manner, in this very spot. Well, I'll tell you the truth. The criminal always returns to the scene of the crime. You know. So here we are, right? Back once again. I remember I was sitting in that yagya and I was sweating, and it was not because of the heat of the fire. It was because of the heat of the vow. And I was 44 years old, and I thought to myself, KK, you are always too bold. Always. You always get yourself in big trouble. And this time, you really did it. Are you really sure that you want to go through with this? I said, well, you know, it looks so stupid if I stand up and walk out now. So, I sat through it. And, you know, and I took the danda, although my heart was pounding. And, yes, well, then it was done, you know, there I was. And there was a TV crew here also, and they asked me afterwards, you know, and do you feel any different now? Oh. So it's like, well, I sure did, you know. And I told them, I said, it's just like someone who gets married, you know. When someone gets married, if you ask him straight after the marriage, does it feel any different now? And saying like, well, yeah, it does. Because now you have responsibility, you know, like, woo-hoo. So once you have that danda, then you have responsibility. So even after the third initiation, right, got three initiations, right, you know, three stars, you know. Yes. And then, over time, you become a guru. Four stars, you know. Got four stars. And then, of course, it's tempting to want the fifth star. I am God. So it's just so hard, right? And realizing that, yes, sannyas is just an opportunity, a good opportunity to finally get serious about spiritual life. That's what it is. So Bali Maharaj had been tested, he had proven that he was serious, and then the Lord showed how he never disappoints anyone, how no one is going to miss out on anything. No one. The Lord fulfills the innermost desires beyond expectation. He showed it with Bali Maharaj, he showed it with Dhruva Maharaj, and there's no doubt about it. And therefore, Bali is one of the Mahajans, Balir Vyasaki Vayam Swayam, that we must also have that courage that Bali displayed, to give everything, not hold back. So maybe that is the first point. There are so many points in this pastime, but the first point is, do not hold back. The Supreme Lord will surely fully reciprocate beyond our expectations. That's his nature. And Prahlad, knowing that, was just deeply appreciating it with love. And he's speaking here out of love. Oh my Lord, you are just such an amazing personality. So amazing. And that is Prahlad's prayer in this verse. So now any questions or comments?